Father, we ask you to bless, Lord, our time this evening as we dedicate our meditation, our thoughts, and our praise and our prayer, Lord, to the fact that Jesus has come. In fact, as we consider the last final days to what the world will celebrate as Christmas, we want to make sure that we're coming to Christmas as believers tonight. So, Lord, bless our time. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. And regarding the title, Coming to Christmas, there'll be no notes on the screen. So don't even think about it, writing things down off the screens. You got to listen tonight. Coming to Christmas. What does that sound like? Is that a question mark? Is it an exclamation point? Coming to Christmas. What are we talking about when we talk about coming to Christmas? The number one thing is that we first of all realize that as Christians tonight, we celebrate something that the world outside of Christianity, they don't get it. That you, among all people, have the boldness, the right, the authority, the joy, the excitement, the conviction, the accuracy to announce to the world about Christmas. I have been actually entertained to be viewing what is being called right now the war on Christmas. The war on Christmas is huge. It's growing every year. And there's more and more groups piling on saying that Christmas should not be recognized publicly because it's offensive. And I find that incredibly amazing and incredibly amusing, because without Christmas being celebrated, most of our retail store industries collapse. They want the bucks of Christmas, but they don't want the Christ. They want you to spend your money, but they don't want to talk about your Lord. And being a very defiant church that you are, you've been all over the place announcing loudly Merry Christmas to people. And it's been a great witness. I applaud you for that. Haven't you watched people? They get into a little bit of a contortion. Lisa she told me just last night, she goes, I was just in a store, and which was last night. She came from the store and got into the car, and she said, it's interesting, I just wished this lady at the register a Merry Christmas, and she didn't know what to do with it. She almost said it and then stopped, looked left and looked right, and never wound up saying it, like she was under some order. And I love the fact that you're not letting it die, and we're not going to let it die. And we are inviting the world to come to Christmas, to come to Christ, to consider Jesus. We're going to be looking at those things tonight real quick. In Luke chapter 2, verse 4, let me read it to you. You can turn there if you'd like. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people or all nations. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That was unusual in those days. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, verse 19, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen as it was told to them. What an awesome portion of scripture. It's so common to us at Christmas and throughout our lifetime. I don't know about you, but I grew up here in America and I grew up with the Peanuts Charlie Brown story being broadcast every year on the three networks that were the only TV channels you had back then. And it was common. The announcement is the most glorious news the world has ever heard. You're not going to get a greater announcement. Listen, cults will come and go. They don't have this announcement. They do everything possible to try to take away from the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, come. That you and I might experience eternal life through God's offering of His Son for us. There's no greater story. There's no greater event. And what is awesome to me is the audience that it surrounds and the messengers that it surrounds. That there's the amazing homogenous, that is a well-mixed relationship between those that are the speakers of it and those that are hearing. It begins in heaven, but that same message delivered by angels, it's now being spread by shepherds, the most despised people in all of the land. And God's news gets out. I want you to think about this tonight. Coming to Christmas, to me, means this. It tells us of the element of surprise. And when I say that it tells us of the element of surprise, I'm saying it with a little bit of humor and sarcasm, in a sense of to provoke. The coming of Christmas, as the announcement comes, we just read it a moment ago, it surprised many in Israel, but it shouldn't have. It didn't need to. It had been well announced in the Bible. Christmas, being unlike any other opportunity to worship, to acknowledge God for the world, it is this. It is a matter of fact. Christmas is not a dream. Christmas is not something we've drummed up. Christmas is the manifestation of God to mankind. That's why the world is against it. That's why when you go on websites, or if you do search attack on Christmas or the war on Christmas, you will see various cults, by the way, attacking the Christmas worship scenario. Taking away, immediately going after the deity of Jesus Christ. I actually find it amusing. Their very protest confirms the fact that God sent His Son into the world, and the Bible says there are those who will be open and those who will reject that. Surprise. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the truth of God gives us confidence of eternal life, which God has promised us before the world began, for God cannot lie. What a tremendous statement that is. That the Christmas story has been promised, and according to the Word of God, the message that Christ would come was an eternal message. God had it in the plan to save mankind from their sins before the world was created. I love how our God makes His plans. There's no surprise to it. Unless we're not familiar. Unless we don't want to be familiar. Or unless we're not searching for Him. See, when the announcement came to the shepherds, yes, it was a surprise in the sense that there was this great, awesome manifestation of angelic hosts. But remember this, that when Herod began to inquire about this Messiah king that would come, first of all, he knew that there was a question that was justified by him asking, what's this Messiah stuff? And then what did the scribes and the students of the word do? Didn't they go and come back and tell him, yes, it is in the Old Testament scriptures that the king would come, that the Messiah would come. It's not a surprise if you're looking for him. You know, Christmas comes around about this time every year. It doesn't surprise many of us. As Christians, it doesn't surprise any of us. But just like it was back then, there were those who knew the Word of God and those who were maybe too busy for the Word of God. But that Word of God said in advance, over 700 years before Jesus was born, in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. That's awesome. You know what? You can just pack up and go home with that statement. A child is born. That happens every day. But a son is given. A son is given, which caused a woman to go into labor, and a child was born. Because a son was given. It speaks of this divine conception of Christ, that Jesus Christ came into this world, that the Holy Spirit came and overshadowed Mary, and by a divine, miraculous event, amazing. Wouldn't you love to have somehow had an electron microscope somehow planted inside Mary's womb to see the spark that must have taken place? She gets pregnant without the help of a man. God himself sets his biology in motion with a snap of his finger. I don't know how he did it. A speaking forth of his word. And Mary is now carrying. And as we learned a couple weeks ago in our worldview series, she's carrying a child from the point of conception, in this sense, by the Holy Spirit and the spark of God's miraculous work in the womb of Mary, inside of her, 1 million cells per second begin to replicate. An explosion of information, unlike any other thing or any other place in the known universe, inside the mother's womb. A miracle is taking place. And the Bible says, I'm still in Isaiah 9. Verse 6, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of his kingdom there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That is the entire mission and ministry of the Messiah. Jesus came first to be sacrificed for our sins. And when he comes back in his second coming, he will complete the rest of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. The Bible tells us, and it shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody, in Micah 5, verse 2, 522 years before Christ was born, but you, Bethlehem, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, the thousands of villages among Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. I want all of you to hear this, because we don't appreciate it like those who are strangers to that verse and they hear it for the first time. That verse, as I shared with you guys before, you take that verse to Israel, or if you know any Jewish friends, you have them turn in their Hebrew Bibles to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and you ask them to read it to you. They can read it in Hebrew, and then they can tell it to you in English. And you'll see them read it, and they'll go through the first part, they'll go through the second part, and they'll come down to the last sentence of that, whose goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting. And in the Hebrew, it's even more intense, that the one who comes out of Bethlehem to be born has always been eternal, never having a beginning and never having an ending. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, friends and family, you cannot get past that verse without having to deal with Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, rumored about from the Old Testament that he would be the Son of God. His very location of his birth, and that whoever that one would be, born in Bethlehem, would be eternal, never having to begin. How do you have somebody born in Bethlehem who has never been subject to time? God comes into this world in human skin. It's very simple. If you are willing to come to Christmas. Very simple. Why fight this? Why argue with this? See, the cults can't stand this. People who don't want Jesus to be Jesus, and people who don't want you to bow down to him or stand and lift your hands in praise to him. They can't stomach this. But the truth is the truth. He was born in Bethlehem. You can't get around it. And the prophet said, keep your eye on Bethlehem. And so in Luke chapter 2, we read it a moment ago, in verse 4, it says that Joseph and Mary were called out of Nazareth, that's way in the north of Galilee, to Bethlehem. That's way down in the south, 83 miles. It's 83 miles. That young girl, pregnant, like, oh my goodness, she was pregnant. Was she on a donkey? Was she on a camel? We don't know. But Lisa and I rode a camel about from here to the front row in Jerusalem, and we crashed. Some of you were there. You thought it was great, weren't you? I mean, you did, didn't you? I mean, we went this far, and the camel decided out of nowhere, I'm not going anymore. And he laid down and rolled over, and we went rolling down the street. Can you imagine being pregnant on a donkey or a camel? I can't imagine being pregnant, but to Bethlehem, 83 miles by decree. According to the Bible, the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem, but he's in the womb 83 miles north. So God lays it on the Emperor of Rome to issue a decree from Rome. Everybody's got to go to their place of origin for registration, for taxation. God moves the entire Roman world to get his son to be born in Bethlehem. Don't tell me God's not in control of our lives. I tell you what, if you're not a Christian tonight, you need to put a helmet on and a mouthpiece before you leave the building if you're going to remain a non-Christian. You need super seat belts because your life's a whole accident. And it's an accident waiting to happen. But man, when you come to Christ, the Lord leads you. He leads you out and he leads you in. He takes care of you. And everything makes sense with him. He's an awesome God. So coming to Christmas tells us of the element of surprise, but it doesn't have to be that way. You might be here tonight and you know it's Christmas season. But are you a Christian? And I think I have to define what that means in this day and age of ours, being a Christian. Please understand this. It's not saying, well, I'm going to receive Christ tonight, and that's it. Do you understand that tonight? And I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight to accept Christ. But listen, it's not accepting Jesus and then moving on and just continuing down your merry way. It's not adding Jesus to your life. I'm going to invite you tonight to bring your life to Christ. And as it were, you die at the foot of the cross. You surrender to him tonight. And today or tonight, you make that first step in being a Christian. A Christian is a Christ follower. Not a Christ recognizer. Not a Christ acquaintance. Not a Christ voter, meaning I'll vote for Jesus tonight. It means to vote for Jesus tomorrow when you wake up, to vote for him every day for the rest of your life. Somebody might be saying, Pastor, now back off a little bit. I brought my friend here tonight. I want them to accept the Lord. Listen, we don't want to trick anybody. We don't want to fool anybody. You can be a Christian, you choose Jesus tonight, and you follow him for the rest of your life. Tonight could be the first step that you make towards Christ. And yes, yes. Yeah, if you'd made your first step toward Christ and accept him and turn around and walk away and break your neck and die, you go to heaven. That's awesome. But if you don't break your neck and you live tomorrow and the next day and for the next 3 months or for the next 30 years, you're going to live those days for Jesus. He's real. He is real. He's just as real as the person sitting next to you. Real relationship, real conversations. So you Christians, woo, weird conversation. Talk to God. Gosh, I saw a guy the other day. In fact, it was some of the pastors. We were together here. Remember a couple weeks ago we were at this conference in Dallas. That's what it was. And we were walking through the airport. And there's a guy walking through the airport, and I couldn't see, the phone was on the other side of his ear, on the other side of his face, and he's walking down the terminal, and he's going, what do you mean? I don't care. Order 5 of them. What? Don't tell me that. Do you understand how freakish that looks? You guys, it's scary looking. Not too long ago, if you saw somebody doing that, you'd call the cops. This is a great time to be nuts in this world. People will think you're on your Bluetooth. Everybody just kind of blends in just really well. But we see people just talking, carrying on conversations these days, and we don't give it a second thought, do we? We see people sit in their car just talking up a storm, and we immediately conclude they're talking on their hand-free Bluetooth phone system. How do you know? They could be talking to themselves or their invisible carpool partner next to them. Or what if someone's praying? What if someone's praying? It's amazing to think how personal our relationship with the Lord is. And if you don't have that tonight, you need to change that and have it tonight. Because you're going to celebrate Christmas. You're going to wrap gifts. You're going to put bows on them. And all that stuff that you do. And if you don't know Jesus, you are just absolutely being pagan.
What?
Being pagan. What are you giving gifts for?
It's Christmas.
Yeah, but what do you care?
Well, I mean, it's Christmas.
Yeah, but Christ, hello, clue, Christ, mass, gathering around Christ, Christmas. Are you doing that?
Well, no, man, we're just giving gifts, having a party.
For what? Oh, you mean winter solstice party, right? This is an amazing time of the year. Because if you know Christ, if you've come to Christmas, it's a great time of worship. If you don't know Christ, it's the huge, most biggest display of hypocrisy in the world. Merry Christmas! Oh, you know Jesus? Right? It's all about him. Which leads us to this second consideration is coming to Christmas calls for reasonable consideration regarding these things. If the Bible says in advance that when Jesus would come, he would be born of a virgin, he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be the eternal God come to earth in human skin. That's what the Bible says. Come on, you guys, that's radical claims. Honestly, it sounds pretty insane unless it happens. And you and I are being challenged tonight to consider Jesus. And to come to Christmas. The Old Testament scriptures of Jesus' day included what you have on your lap from Genesis to Malachi. Isn't it interesting? In all the synagogues, they had the scriptures. When Jesus came, in fact, when his ministry began, do you remember that he called for the scroll of Isaiah? And he opened it up to the actual day. It's very cool. We don't have time to get into it right now. It's awesome. The day that Jesus, as a local rabbi in that community, they handed him the scroll. He turned to the place of the daily reading for that Shabbat, for that Sabbath. Did you know that was not an accident? He didn't open the scroll and say, now, where's Isaiah 61, 61, 62? No. He opens to the next scheduled reading. And what is it? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to anoint me to preach, right? And with that, the scripture says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped right there and rolled up the scroll. And he said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. And that's when the scandals began. People freaked who didn't want to consider these things. But if they would have just for 30 years watched, listened, searched the scriptures and looked at that man's life, even before his ministry began, there was enough evidence to pin it on Jesus that he was none other than the Son of God come to earth. He grew up under that stigma of being an illegitimate child. Oh, his mother, we know, his father, who's his father? This rumor about God being, how convenient. Imagine the stories that must have been told about him. Consider him. A lot of people want to make comments about Jesus, but they don't even know him. They've never considered him. I love what it says about Mary in verse 19. It says, but Mary kept all these things. Listen to this. She fenced them up in her heart. Fenced them. And pondered them. Watch this. It's amazing. Two amazing words. She fenced all of this stuff in a safe place. And she pondered. The word pondered, listen to this. It means to combine, to connect, to consult, to dispute, to argue, to rehearse, to consider. That's what she did. Imagine. Mary is listening, watching, not only regarding the visitation of the angel, but now the baby is born and she's still pondering and keeping these things in her heart. And she's thinking, well, how is this going to play out? I know the scriptures. How can this be? Can you imagine the thoughts that must have gone through her life? But she slowed down. We need to do that right now, by the way, in our culture. We're all going crazy trying to get in the spirit. We need to slow down to get in the spirit. She pondered them. She combined all the evidence together. She brought these things of scripture to what she was looking at. And listen, she put her worldview in a biblical worldview. And she began to see and interpret things through the Word of God because, listen, that was the only thing that made sense. And I want to tell you tonight, it's going to be the only thing that makes sense in your life. Nothing else makes sense without Him. And so, we are to consider these things, the Bible says in Isaiah 7:13, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing that you would weary men? But will you weary my God also, says the prophet? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name, which is radical, Emmanuel. We sang it tonight. Emmanuel. That connects to Matthew 1:22. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Can you think of anyone else in human history that is named Emmanuel as the prophets foretold, born in Bethlehem, who's eternal? Isn't that awesome? Don't you love Christmas? Don't you love being a Christian? Our faith is founded upon fact. That's a huge thing. The Word of God is our assurance. And then third and final consideration is this. Coming to Christmas, thirdly, deserves a deliberate response by us, by anyone. A deliberate response. The Bible reminds us here that there was the witness of earth in this amazing thing. Now this to me is very cool. I'm currently going through a book by Robert Spencer, who's an Islamic scholar, and going through the Quran and matching up said events versus traditions, and it's just absolutely all disjointed and so confusing, and you don't know what's what. There's nothing clear about it. And wow. And then you pick up your Bible and it's just like a bath. And it makes it's crystal clear. And you think of the witness, for example, because the two comparisons, and I'm just gonna use these two. You can use Christianity and anything, but one's all in secret, one is one eyewitness, it's this person's word and only that. And then you have the Bible where God, the news number one, the earthly witness is shouted to angels. I mean, from angels to shepherds. The shepherds spread the word among others. They're all running around sharing what's going on with others. You've got this incredible witness taking place. And it spreads like wildfire. And it's a witness of earth, meaning that it's on the earthly plane. But how did it arrive in the first place? Not with one visitation of some angel, but there was a heavenly host. And as you read through the Gospels, and this is a great time of the year to read through all four Gospels, you've got, and this is important, if you're going to do some sort of forensic examination or study, is one layer of evidence peeled back or added to the case. One atop another. And the more you reach the preponderance of evidence and the case is closed or sealed or done. Overwhelming. And you've got the report from earth of what's happened. And then you take the second thing, which is the announcement from heaven or the eyewitness account from heaven. Heaven says it will be like this, and the people of earth witnesses it as such. And you've got heaven in agreement, you've got earth in agreement, and you have your Bible in front of you. And to this moment, nobody in this world can find a contradiction in Scripture. And by the way, listen, young people in here, if somebody tells you the Bible has an error in it, or it's filled with contradictions, ask them on the spot. Write it down. I need to know this. Write it down. That's a pretty profound statement. Write it down. And if they can't do it, give them a week. Tell them, go home, do your homework, bring back the contradictions. You got to produce those. That's fantastic. I didn't know that. Bring the contradictions. Christian, did you hear what I just said? You can be bold like that. Poor things. They're going to go home. They're going to put on a pot of coffee and stay awake for a week and try to find something. the witness between heaven and earth. This is our God who is so awesome to have a plan in heaven and to announce it with angels, deposit his truth among humans, and God fulfill his word. That to me is such a profound announcement of his keeping power. In Romans chapter 1 verse 2, the Bible says, God promised before through his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David. That means Jesus had to come through the lineage of David. And he came through Mary and Joseph. Mary, bloodline. Joseph, legal line, royal line. According to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. In Luke 2:34, we're almost done. Luke 2:34, then Simeon blessed them. That's Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. And said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Think of that. If people want to cuss today, they'll use the name of Jesus. If people want to fight, they'll talk about anything. People will tolerate any religion, any founder, any faith. You mention Jesus and you got a fight on your hands. Have you noticed that? Isn't that amazing? Why? Because he's the only one that's real. Just think, demons know that, huh? Remember when Jesus showed up and demons were possessing people, and on more than one account, Jesus would show up on the scene and a demon would speak out of the guy's mouth in the Gospels and say, we know who you are. You are the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? Translation, you're the Son of God. These idiots around here don't know it, but we know. And we know that our day is coming where we're going to be cast into hell. Are you going to do it now? Isn't that amazing? Wow. No wonder why when you mention the name Jesus, people get all... And I still, I've told you guys this 1,000 times, but it's still freaky weird. Nobody takes a hammer and tries to hit the nail, misses and slams their thumb, blood, fingernail flying everywhere, and no one says, oh, Buddha. Never heard it. Never heard that happen. Mohammed, that hurts. Never heard it happen. Isn't it interesting that Jesus' name is the most blessed or the most cursed name in the world every day? And so, the biblical account of Christmas is a one of a kind. It is awesome. In 1 John 2:2, the Bible says, and he himself is the propitiation, sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Wow. Say, that's cool. You might be here tonight. Man, that's cool. I came in here. I didn't even know what I was. I just walked into this place. Just found out. That's a great verse. My sins are forgiven. Great. I can go do dope and shoot people and my sins are forgiven. Isn't that great? That's not what it means. That's not what it means. He died on the cross for all of our sins. Water in here. I cannot get to the water unless I open it up and drink it. You gotta take it. Everything's been provided. It's all right here. But you gotta take it. It's called a gift. It's called Christmas. That's what Christmas is. Do you know why we give gifts to each other? Because we're copying what God did. And oh man, I hope I get something really cool. I hope I get something good for Christmas. Where does that come from? God gave his best. His son. I don't remember where I read it, but I read it regarding our Pilgrim Fathers. They would not celebrate Christmas. They would not do it. They thought it was wrong because they said, what is the purpose? We think about Jesus every day. We can't take a day to do what we did in Europe. Because of what? What does it accomplish to give a gift to one another? It doesn't accomplish anything. Now, they would have devastated our economy today, clearly. But they understood it differently. I think they understand it. They understood it more in a Puritan fashion. It's beyond human replication. It just causes us to fall on our face in thanks. Right? And that's what we need to do. So, listen. Christmas is coming. But are you coming to Christmas? That's the big deal. We're going to pray right now. And I'm going to ask you tonight to just really do your best to slow down. Just take a couple deep breaths if you have to. And just in your seat, just, you know, if you have to crack your knuckles or whatever you need to do, do it. But just relax, and I want you to think about tonight's challenge. Father, we pray and we ask of you, O Lord our God, creator of the universe, you who are faithful to bring forth bread from the earth for us, you who are faithful to bring forth, Lord, your provision, your wine from the grapes, rain from the clouds. Your faithfulness, O God, cannot be denied by anyone. It can be rejected, it can be neglected, it can be despised, but it cannot be denied in the sense that you have not done great things. You have. And Father, we pray tonight as we look to your eternal word that you in your infinite wisdom have allowed mankind to put into print and on paper with ink for the world to read, to send the message of Jesus on bits of information through space. Come on the other end of someone's ear or eyes on a computer. You're amazing. You're amazing. And Lord, there are castles with gates of iron. Walls of granite that are easier to get into than the hearts of men and women. Lord, open our eyes tonight, please, that if there'll be someone here this evening that has never come to Christmas, that they would do that tonight. They would make this their moment of public confession of Jesus. That recognizing him tonight, the Christ of Christmas, is to say, I believe and I confess Jesus died on the cross for my sins, as the Bible said tonight to me, that he rose again from the dead, as I heard from the book of Romans tonight. To me, that he's the Christ who came into this world, the eternal one, I heard in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and that he is the governor of time the King. I recognize Isaiah's words of nearly 3,000 years ago right now. I confess, I cannot deny, that in the land of Israel, several miles from Jerusalem, still stands the city of David, Bethlehem, where your Bible said centuries in advance the Messiah would be born there. And I acquiesce tonight, O God. I repent of my sins. I confess I am a sinner and I am not justified before you. My guilt and my shame doggedly pursue me. I'm convicted. I need a Savior, Christ the Lord. My friend, tonight, if God is speaking to your heart and tonight is your night to publicly stand for Jesus, I'm going to ask you to just stand where you're at. As we sing this song, you be thinking right now, and I want to give you a little tip. If tonight, in your heart, in your chest, in your soul, you'll feel this. You'll feel a tension, a pressure. You'll feel as though the spotlight is on you. You'll feel tonight, if Christ is speaking to you, if the Holy Spirit is saying to you tonight, you need my son Jesus, get saved tonight. Have your sins forgiven. Give my son the reins of your life. If you start to feel, maybe already now it is, this tension in your chest, it's like you're under the gun, you're under the weight of something happening right now. My friend, you should be so happy because the Spirit of God is speaking to you. And I'm going to just ask you to stand. You don't need to come forward right now. You just stand if you would as we sing this song and remain standing. And then I'll just lead you guys in prayer. Jesus hung on the cross for us. Tonight, if he's speaking to you, stand for him. Let's worship. Jesus, I'm going to ask you to stand. Christians, be in an attitude of prayer right now. Be praying. This is an amazing moment because there are people in this room that are sensing that they should. They're not sure if they're a Christian or not. They believe, but they've never confessed Christ publicly. Tonight, the Lord would have them to stand for him. There's that battle within that person tonight. They're alone in that, they're alone in their thoughts, but they're dealing with an invasion right now. The Holy Spirit coming upon them, and there's that pressure, there's that tension. Maybe that's you tonight, and you're saying, I know I'm supposed to stand, but what will my friends think? I know I'm supposed to stand, but what about my family? And I know I'm supposed to stand, but I'm scared. Christians, be praying. As I look across the sanctuary tonight, if that's you, will you just stand right now and be bold for Jesus? And imagine that this evening, as you do that, God bless you, as you do that tonight, you're acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Anyone else tonight, you can stand right where you're at. Imagine for a moment, I've often done this in the past, haven't done it in a long time, and don't worry, I won't do it tonight, but I remember a long time ago just saying, if you're a Christian at this moment, you know, stand for Jesus. And that's an intense moment because I didn't realize it, but a man wrote me a letter and he said, I'm not a Christian. My wife makes me come every week. And you told Christians to stand up and I couldn't stand up and I look like a fool. And he was really letting me have it. And I wrote him back a letter and I said, if you think that me, a little, mere, puny human being, could cause you to feel silly and foolish by separating, as it were, the sheep from the goats, what will happen on that horrible day when Jesus himself says, stand for me, and you will not be able to stand. And that man left this church, and I've never seen him since, and I've never forgotten him. I won't ask the Christians to stand tonight. Maybe some other time, but maybe that's you tonight in the sense that it's time for you to stand for Jesus. This is the last call. If you want him tonight and you want to publicly profess him tonight, stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you to my left. God bless you and you and now you and you. You. God bless you and you. You, 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 and you. 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 God bless you. Those of you who are standing, Christians, be praying. Pray for them. Those of you who are standing, pray this prayer. Let it fall from your lips. It's not a magical prayer, but if you mean it, God will hear it. Dear Lord Jesus, I come tonight and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to wash my guilt away, and to free me from myself and the tyranny of my life. Make me your own. Fill me with life. I confess tonight, Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, risen from the grave, ascended God, Savior of my soul. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.